Now please turn in God's word to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And here Jesus is speaking to his troubled disciples in the upper room on the night of his betrayal. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 17. So it's John chapter 15 and reading from verse 1. Where our Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide or remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. On Sunday mornings, we're thinking about some of the many names and titles ascribed to our Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Our Saviour is so very wonderful that two or three names are not sufficient to reveal the glory of his person and the wonder of his redeeming work. We're using the alphabet as a guide in this series, and so this morning we come to the letter F. And once again, we are spoilt for choice, as the saying goes. As risen from the dead, Jesus is the first fruits of all those who fall asleep in death, joined to him with living faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, Jesus is the sure foundation of his church, the redeemed congregation of visible saints. Hebrews 6 verse 20, Jesus is the forerunner who has gone before us into the very presence of God in heaven, and we follow on behind. Well, for this morning I'd like to think about Jesus as our faithful friend. And as you know, friendship is a two-way relationship. It's hardly possible to have a friendship if it's all one way. True friendship is a two-way relationship. If Christ looks upon us as his friends, we can look upon him as our friend. And how wonderful it is that the believer enjoys the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ with all that friendship implies. What a comfort it must have been for these troubled disciples in the upper room to hear Jesus speak to them as friends. Here in John 15, 13 to 15, the next day Jesus would lay down his life on the cross for the disciples as his friends, verse 13. There's no greater love than this, says our Lord. Verse 14, they would show themselves to be the friends of Jesus by lovingly keeping his commandments. And verse 15, Jesus would share intimate secrets with them as friends rather than servants. Jesus is our faithful friend. Jesus is the very best friend. And of course, we thank the Lord for all our earthly friends, but Jesus surpasses them all. Christ is everything that we could wish for in a friend. And yet, as I've remarked already, introducing our opening hymn, this friendship with the Lord should not degenerate into a flippant, superficial chumminess with Jesus. Jesus is not our mate, he's not our bezzy. Christ is the only begotten Son of God, he's the King of glory. He's exalted, glorified at God's right hand, and all of the holy angels and all the redeemed who have gone before us, they bow down before him in adoring wonder. But at the very same time, this Jesus is also our friend, our very best friend. So let's think about some of the marks of true friendship and see how Jesus fulfills them all so wonderfully. First of all, true friendship is marked by affinity. True friendship is marked by affinity. In other words, our friends must be of the same nature as ourselves. I am a flesh and blood human being, and so my friends are flesh and blood human beings. There is an affinity of nature with true friendship. Now, it is sometimes said that a dog is a man's best friend. There is some element of truth in that statement. Our border collie is very affectionate. It can be very comforting to stroke her. Sometimes we feel she understands us. But I can't have an intelligent two-way conversation with the dog. I certainly can't have a spiritual relationship with the dog. We can't pray together. And the reason is a dog is not a human being made in the image and likeness of God. There is no affinity of nature. Our friendships are with fellow human beings, not with animals or plants or with machines in this modern age. There must be a shared nature. Hebrews 2:14, we read, "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same." Through the incarnation, the eternal Son of God became the Son of Man and has thus entered, as it were, the brotherhood of man. He became one of us. A real flesh and blood human being. So there is affinity between Jesus and ourselves that Christ shares in our humanity forever. Secondly, true friendship is marked by loyalty. A real friend is someone who will stick with us through thick and thin in the good times and the bad times. In tough times, we find out who our true friends really are. I was thinking here about David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 18 and the chapters that follow. They're celebrated in the Bible for their close friendship, how loyal they were to each other. And Jonathan's father was King Saul, and even when Saul was so enraged against David, Jonathan stood up for his friend, even at the risk of his own life. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, not some of the time or most of the time, but at all times. And Christ is the ultimate friend who loves us at all times, in the good times and in the bad times. John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Which seems to mean to the very end of his earthly life, to his dying breath. Those hours hanging there in agony upon the cross, it was his love that held him there. He loved them to the end. The love of Jesus, our faithful friend, doesn't blow hot and cold. His love does not alter when it alteration finds in us. Oh no, Christ's love is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. Our Saviour is the same, we're told in Hebrews. Yesterday, today, and forever. I've also been a bit spoiled for choice this morning on what hymns to choose. I think we could have had a service with 10 or 12 hymns on this theme. I have a friend whose faithful love is more than all the world to me. 'Tis higher than the heights above, it's deeper than the soundless sea, so old, so new, so strong, so true. Before the earth received its frame, he loved me. Blessed be his name. Thirdly, true friendship is marked by sympathy. Sympathy is an integral part of true friendship. Friends feel for each other in their pain. Friends weep with each other. They attempt to comfort each other. They're not cold and aloof. They're not judgmental. They're not like Job's so-called friends, miserable comforters. Oh, how that godly man suffered. In quick succession, Job lost his children, he lost his business, including his employees, and then he lost his health. His wife was no comfort at all, urging him to abandon God. And neither were his three so-called friends. Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar. Oh, they started well, didn't they? They wept with Job. They sat with Job in dust and ashes. They said nothing for a whole week. But then they attempted to explain Job's suffering, and they just added to his torment. Essentially, their argument was that Job was guilty of some great scandalous sin. Nothing in their minds, at least, could account for such great suffering. They were very narrow-minded, very blinkered in their view and understanding of the situation. Oh, Jesus is our sympathetic great high priest. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, Hebrews 4, verse 15. Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all our affliction, he is afflicted. Our Saviour, this faithful friend, he's not cold, he's not aloof, he's not indifferent to our pain. Another great hymn comes to mind, I need thee, precious Jesus, I need a friend like thee. A friend to soothe and comfort, a friend to care for me. I need the heart of Jesus to feel each anxious care, to tell my every trouble and all my sorrows share. Fourthly, true friendship is marked by intimacy. We see this here in John 15, verse 15. All the things that Jesus had heard from his Father, he had made known to his disciples as friends rather than servants. That is what friends do. So yes, it is true. We mustn't press this too much. Of course, Jesus is still their Lord and their Master. They are still his servants, but they are also friends. And that's what friends do. They confide in each other. They share with each other things that they don't share with other people, things that are private. One of my favourite psalms comes to mind, Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The word translated here as secret could be translated and is translated elsewhere as friendship. The two go together. Abraham is known in the Bible as the friend of God, James 2, verse 23. And that's why the Lord did not hide from Abraham the things he was about to do in Genesis 18 and verse 17. How can I hide this from Abraham, my friend? Jesus opens his heart to us and we open our hearts to him. We can say things to this faithful friend that we would not want to say to anybody else. And by the way, that's one reason among many why the Lord instructs us to pray in secret. Matthew 6, verse 6. Because we say things in prayer to the Lord which are for his ears only. So it's important that we spend time in secret with Jesus alone. Fifthly and finally, and there are many other things we could say, but fifthly and finally, true friendship is marked by proximity. Solomon says with his God-given wisdom in Proverbs 27, verse 10, it's better to have a neighbour nearby than to have a brother who is living far away on the day of calamity. Now, of course, in this modern world, we have the benefits of mobile phones, the internet. We can even have real-time face-to-face conversations with family and friends living on the other side of the world. And some of our relatives live abroad. And yet we're able to see them and talk to them in real time. But think about it, even with all the modern technology, if I'm in desperate need on the day of calamity, my best friend living in Australia can do very little for me. How close to us is Jesus, this faithful friend? Well, Christ has promised to be with us always, even to the end of this gospel age, until his return in glory, Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus is a friend who's always nearby. He's always at hand. He's never far away. Just comes to mind the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel crying out to their idol. And Elijah mocks them. Well, he's not answering, but perhaps he's on a journey. Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18, verse 24. So Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our bridegroom. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Jesus is the desire of all nations. Jesus is God's elect, as we thought last time. And Jesus is our faithful friend. Oh, that we would cultivate our friendship with the Lord. Our earthly friendships need to be cultivated, and so it is with our friendship with Jesus. Now, of course, there's no problem at all on his part. As we've said, Christ is the perfect friend. But sometimes we're not very good friends. As we've said, friendship is always a two-way relationship. When it comes to Jesus, it's so humbling, isn't it? We can be so cold, so aloof. We can be so distant. We can be forgetful. And what hard and suspicious thoughts we can entertain at times about our faithful friend. But as John Newton puts it in his great hymn, yet this glorious friend and brother loves us though we treat him thus. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to know the faithful friendship of Jesus in a world like this, that's so friendless. And this faithful friend will not disappoint us. He won't let us down. He will never hurt us. He won't abandon us when we need him most. And by the way, this faithful friend will not flatter us and deceive us. He'll always tell us the truth about ourselves for our good. Oh, this friend loves us with an eternal, unchanging, steadfast covenant love. Oh, that all of us here this morning and everyone who may well listen to this message on the church website today and in the days ahead, oh, that we would all know the friendship of this faithful friend. Jesus is not our foe. He's our friend. He offers himself to each one of us to be the very best friend that we could ever wish for. And I do believe that so many people are unbelievers. They hear this wonderful message, this wonderful gospel of the friendship of the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us. And the reason why they remain in unbelief is that they regard Jesus as a foe and not a friend. And they believe the devil's lie, that Jesus wants to hinder them, that Jesus wants to constrain them, to rob them of all their joy. But Jesus wants to be the friend to all who will have him and who will come to him and pour out all their hearts to him. Amen.